Warning, this podcast is subject to vulgar language. Listener discretion is advised.
Josh,
wake up. Oh, yeah, so Splunking Batman. All right.
We're live.
Live from New York, it's Saturday night! And...
What's in my butt?
Hold on, Josh, seriously, wake up. Come on, intro.
Well, I mean, I was waiting for you guys to stop fist-fucking each other.
You know what? Heart wants what the heart wants.
Hey, it's Pwn Stars.
I'm not stopping it.
Oh, okay. Welcome to Pwn Stars, I'm Josh.
I'm Will.
Hi, I'm Ray.
Today we're talking about stuff. Do you know what kind of stuff that is? Have you ever been out with your friends at a bar?
Where are you going with us?
I'm really confused. We talked about this earlier, but have you ever been out with your friends at a bar telling yourself, you're not going to drink tonight, you're not going to drink, but you're out with your friends, you know you're going to drink, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't really matter what choice you make.
Yeah, you don't get a choice in the matter.
Exactly. That's basically what we're talking about today, the illusion of choice, just in video games, not at a bar.
Oh, man, I thought we were going to a bar.
No, we've got booze in front of us.
Yeah, lots of it.
I was going to go with something else, but I figured neither of you would catch on. You'd just be all like, what are you trying to go with?
We never know what you're trying to go with.
That is very, very true.
Scotch.
Scotch indeed. But I figure Ryan and I talked about this not too long ago, so we're going to jump. The fuck are you?
Don't worry about it. Just keep going.
Okay, we're gonna jump to pretty much what we talked about last time. Telltale. Now,
Telltale's a great start in regards to the choices in gaming.
Very good with regard.
Great games. It makes you feel like your choices do matter with all the pop-ups of whoever will remember this.
Unlike most games, your choices actually do matter.
For the most part.
When
they first started, I was looking through and I was doing all the different choices. Let's just say The Walking Dead, because that's the one I started with. No matter what you chose, the outcome was still the same. It's just how it happened was different. It's
ever
the exact
so
same
slightly.
Thing. Yeah. It's the same thing that we're talking about with, you know, the illusion of choice, giving you the option, but shit's still probably going to happen the same thing. Now, they've gotten better at it to where your choices do matter, whether or not this person dies, this person lives, what happens here. It's just, it's in the beginning stages of the Telltale
like the,
games.
Like The Walking Dead, where no matter what, at the end, dude became a zombie.
Yeah.
That or no matter what, Ducky died.
Yep.
Which, again, not a spoiler, but you should have played it by now anyways.
I ain't got a fucking clue who Ducky is, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's a little kid. It's a little kid.
Dude,
it's
okay,
just,
now,
it
you're
happens.
Just, now you're just going massively into spoilers.
Oh, at the farm?
Right after the farm.
Yeah.
Right after.
Like,
I know a lot of people were pissed off of that.
Yeah.
Now that I think about what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And when I saw that, I was just like, meh, it's a game.
Yeah.
I probably shouldn't be double-fisting drinks while we're doing this, should I?
I mean, you handle your alcohol problem however you want to.
It's not a problem.
I didn't get a chance to drink yesterday. It was St. Patty's Day, so screw you.
So, yeah.
Don't judge me.
He's just breaking out his alcoholic problem today.
Yeah, he didn't get day drunk. I count that as a win.
He was trying to, but you took forever getting over here.
Yeah, that's true.
Anyway. But yeah.
He has a point there. You did ask me what booze I wanted at, like, 2.
That's
it
true.
Was, like, 3, almost 4. But, like, they have come a long ways in Telltale as a part of going through the game with your choices mattering. But when you get to the end, it's still either you win or you lose. There's not really a whole lot of difference there. Like, in the Borderlands one, it basically just changes who you can take for the final fight against the Vault.
Yeah. The
monster
guardian.
Yeah, that thing. I forgot its name. And depending upon who you have with you and your relations with them throughout the game, you'll either win or lose.
Hence why it's referred to as the illusion of choice.
Correct.
Because there aren't many games where your choices truly actually matter in regards to the ends of the game.
I can only
Until Dawn?
Until Dawn, that actually does matter. But it's not your choices that matter. It's how you play the game. Because, like, there are parts where you do have to hold your controller still. Like, super
yeah, I can't do
still.
This.
It was difficult for me.
Drinking, smoking, can't do it.
I find that one, that it does still have the illusion of choice because you can choose to do one thing over another and it still leads
how
to your untimely death. It depends who all lives and who all dies.
Now I'm talking, like, actual changes. I'm not talking, like, Star Ocean 2 had 64 endings, but it was basically the exact same ending in the game with little tiny differences in regards to characters. That was it. That's still technically an illusion because the game is the exact same at the end.
It's just a change as well.
If we're not going to count character deaths being an ending, I only see 2 possible endings.
Okay.
Everyone survives or some people survive, that's an ending. Or if everyone dies, then I would consider that another ending. Because if nobody escapes or one or more people escape, there's your endings.
Okay.
Because then during the credits, it has them in a police station being questioned about what happened.
Yeah, okay.
Which, I mean, I loved the game. It was really fun, but I tried to platinum it, just couldn't bring myself to do it.
So still, your choices, in the end, really didn't matter.
No, not at all.
It was just survivability.
It was basically like the choose-your-own-adventure books. Do you go left or do you go right? Oh, you went left? Oh, well, this thing's going to jump out from this hatch and rip your head off.
Okay, time to go back a page?
I'm about to show my age. You're eaten by a Gru.
Okay, we'll go with that. But at the same part, if you go right...
Zork. Never played Zork.
I watched enough Big Bang Theory. I know what it
is. At the same part, if you go right, just glossing over that because I don't even know, you fail a QTE event, jumping over some logs. You fail to hold your controller steady and you get chased down another long hallway. One of your people that you're friends with dies.
Whoa! What's a QTE?
A quick time event where you have to press buttons on the screen.
Fucking
remember, not everybody knows the lingo.
Acronym and shit.
I was getting there.
Well, I mean, I didn't know. I was like, what the fuck
is a QTE? You actually didn't know what a QTE
is? No,
was?
I completely blacked out on what that
you
was.
You played Resident Evil 6 and you don't know what a QTE is?
5 and 6, actually.
And 4.
Four.
Yeah, but 6 was the QTE king.
No, 4 was.
Four was much more into the QTEs. I know the lingo now, so I can say it.
I made it to the lake, so I don't really remember a whole lot there.
It's after that, pretty much.
If you know the QTEs, just start calling them cuties. It'll confuse everybody.
I was actually going to say, what the fuck is a cutie?
Like, aw, thanks, buddy. You don't have to bring my hopes up now.
Well, you're okay.
And then, well, there's a new one coming out in a few days. It's a pretty massive one.
What's that?
Mass Effect.
Well, technically not in a few days. When this airs will be launch day for Mass Effect.
Okay, that's true. So, in a few days from now,
yes,
but pretty much today, Mass Effect. I can only think of one instance that ever really changed anything, and that was in the very first one, if you choose to save or kill the Arachne Queen. That's the only thing I know of that changed, depending on what you did.
It was like the only thing that affected 3 from the first game.
I can't.
Aside from who survived, Ashley or Caden.
I can't remember what happened to the killer. The queen?
You don't have the Arachne helping you in 3.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's about it.
But then I think it's the Krogans won't help you because the Arachne are helping you.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
So it doesn't really change either way. It's just whether it's the Krogans or the Arachne.
Yeah.
So it's still that illusion of choice.
So there's still a choice, but it doesn't really fucking matter because you're still going to get help later on regardless.
It's like who's helping you, the Hanar or the Batarians.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter.
Like, okay. Throughout the entire game of Mass Effect.
I played them, I just don't remember.
Who wants the squid people to help you anyways?
And like even worse, at the very end of the very first Mass Effect, if you have your Paragon or Renegade at its max, you're able to convince Saren that what he's doing is wrong and he'll shoot himself. And you think, oh, sweet, that was an easy final boss. And you still have to fight the final boss. You just skip the first form of it, basically.
Okay.
Which, the first form was a bitch.
Yeah.
And the final boss was a bitch.
So, there's another sign for it's an illusion.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter who survives. Hayden. Caden or Ashley.
Had a little too much to drink.
Oh, not yet.
Not yet.
Caden or Ashley, if you save Rex. Actually, I think if you save Rex, it's much more story dependent than anything else.
Yeah, that's about it.
Whether Tally kills herself. Yeah, I mean, there's all sorts of things. But in the end, it doesn't really matter.
It all comes down to your 3 choices at the end of the 3rd Mass Effect.
Yep.
You could have been an asshole and still save everybody. You could have been a nice guy and still basically fuck everyone over.
Well,
so they essentially
let's bring up another example of that then.
Well, so Fallout they essentially took it away from you then, is what you're saying. So, yeah. Like, you spent all 3 games, like, I'm going to be a paragon throughout the entire fucking thing. And then at the last minute, you're like, fuck those guys, and then, fuck them.
There's a reason why a lot of people were pissed off.
Okay, I never understood why people were bitching about it because, I mean, I played them. And they're all fun, but I never really got it. Like,
I never saw the fixed ending.
Me either. I couldn't bring myself to play through it again.
Nope.
Yeah, it's because, you know, it's a bad sign when they completely remake the ending of the game and release it free.
That was
EA having them push it out the door.
Yeah.
They even admitted that was they were on such a time constraint they weren't allowed to change their release date. That's what they gave us.
Yeah.
And now let me rephrase for people before they start getting pissy at me for not being able to play through it again. The 3rd one was my least favorite.
It's a long-ass game, too.
It was really long.
And that's
especially,
saying something.
Especially the Galaxy War crap, mm-hmm. trying to get that back up.
See, that was the only thing I liked about Mass Effect 3, really, was the multiplayer. That's the thing I'm looking forward to most in Andromeda.
Yeah, but you had to play in between them.
Right.
I mean, it was, you could get that maxed, but then if you focus on the story, by the time you reach the end, you're probably only 80% because you haven't been playing the multiplayer yet.
Well, that's where I thought it was a pretty nice, like, medium point, because with you play those types of games, you just play them by yourself for the most part.
I didn't that one, but yeah.
You personally, unless it's like Max Payne where we don't let you play it at all.
Fuckers.
I would play the campaign for a little bit, Josh and Mel would get on, instantly go over to multiplayer.
Yep.
And so, I mean, there was a happy medium for me. Like, when I got to the end of the game, I was still at 99%.
Well, you saw last night when I was playing Andromeda. How well did I respond to you guys?
Oh, I was like, is Will still there? Are you okay? You pissed off about something?
Fuck you, Andromeda.
Yeah, and that's the only response I got, so.
I get too much into those types of games.
Yeah.
So, it's really hard for me to jump in between. This one, I don't think it's going to be a problem. Yeah. I think I've kind of gotten used to it, but.
Well, multiplayer is all we're going
to
play.
It's going to be much easier if you send me a message than try to tell me while we're in a party because I'm probably probably not paying attention. I might have the game volume maxed all the way and the chat all the way off, which I accidentally did yesterday because I just accidentally kept hitting the chat pad.
I wouldn't know because I left for like an hour to watch Iron Fist.
And that's where you went.
And that's when nobody was talking to me and I got really bored and almost fell asleep.
Good thing you did it. But anyways, you were talking about Fallout.
Yeah, Fallout 3 is another prime example. Pretty much doesn't matter what the hell you do. At the very end, you go in or you're a douchebag and send somebody else in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Either way, it gets done. But you have to live with yourself knowing you killed someone just to save your own fucking skin.
You can choose to purify the water, or you can choose not to. That's pretty much what it comes down to.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So,
and it's not even any different, really, with Fallout 4. I know you haven't gotten there. Have you beat it, Ryan?
Oh, yeah, fuck.
There's, like, three...
I bought it on the Xbox. I can't focus with the controller for too long.
Yeah.
I have other games. Everything else I have is multiplayer, so you guys hop on. I'm done with Fallout for a while.
Max Payne 3, prime example.
And my save file got corrupted twice.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was Fallout.
I started to get pissed off.
Just try it with mods and you'll breeze right through it if you don't care about achievements.
I don't give a crap at this point.
Just try it with mods. It's a lot
harder. And yet, I'm a trophy whore.
Yeah, trophies are different. You feel like you accomplished something. It's not achievement,
bro.
I got a platinum. Yeah, not just more points.
You feel like you achieved something by getting a platinum instead of, oh, hey, you just got your last 50-point achievement for this game.
Yay! Next game! Dink! My name's John.
Okay, guys, let's not be making fun of Xbox people.
Well, I'm not making fun of Xbox people. I'm making fun of achievement whores.
John Dolan.
That's anybody who plays an Xbox.
That's not true. I play Xbox. I'm not an achievement whore. Okay, I did it to one game.
Avatar The Last Airbender. Okay, anyway, so Fallout 3. Yeah, your choices don't mean shit.
No.
So can you think of actually any games where it really does affect it?
Go on. I'll wait.
Yeah, honestly, no. I can't.
I can. Fairy Fencer F. You get three different actual games based off of the decisions you're making early on. Once you get about halfway through, it determines, it goes based off of your decisions you've made and where you're actually going to go. You don't even have the same freaking boss. The story is completely different beyond that point. So that's an example where they actually do it, and it's a no-name JRPG that just happened to be really fun.
Well,
yeah, you said the name, yeah. I was like, what the okay. fuck?
That was on my surprise for the year, remember?
Oh, yeah.
Ever saying that, I can think of one. Hmm. Believe it or not, it's Catherine.
Catherine is another one that a lot of people say I can't play it because I suck at it. It's a puzzle game.
It's really difficult.
It's an action puzzle game.
But there's like six or seven different endings based on the choices. True actual
endings.
Yeah. Whether you're going true chaos or true control or just being neutral to anything. It depends or it changes who you get at the end of the game. Whether it's Catherine with a K, Catherine with a C, or basically nobody at all.
Whether you lose your soul?
Well, I mean, if you go with chaos, you basically lose your soul and become a demon king.
Yeah, because I was about to say, wasn't she like a succubus or something?
Yep, she was. That was the coolest ending ever, by the way. Seeing Vincent there with horns and stuff. I think it was just because he was voiced by Troy Baker.
Oh my god, you and Troy Baker.
You just blow him already. Fuck.
Hey, if somebody gets this to him and he agrees to it, I will. I mean, I'm not gay or anything, but...
I wouldn't be surprised if eventually, somehow, one of our episodes makes it to Troy Baker.
And he's like, man, I like these people. I want to go on for an episode. And
no, I'm pretty sure it's going to be much more like, oh my god, I need a restraining order against that Josh guy.
No, because I think he would be accustomed to doing an episode with us, and then after I have his phone number, then comes the restraining order.
That's why... Okay, so if anybody ever gets this to Troy Baker, all contact information will go through me.
Oh.
For specific reasons like that.
I just love him so much.
Like, I will make sure that, like, if we do it through Skype... You have no idea what login he's using. I will actually tell him to use an anonymous login for it, just so he doesn't have a stalker.
But what if he starts stalking me? That's the illusion of choice in real life.
No, that's the delusion.
I get the two confused all the time. But let's jump to our next real quick. I think it'll be pretty funny. Mass Effect 3. Max Payne 3. Sorry.
I was about to say.
This choice isn't Max Payne.
There is the choice to play multiplayer or play the single player.
You have the illusion of this choice. You think you're going to play single player.
I think I had the choice to play single player, but I didn't.
You did not.
So there's the illusion. Do you regret your choice?
Yes.
No, not really. I mean, I really wanted to play them single player, but it was a multiplayer I actually rocked on, so...
You were actually really good at the multiplayer, I'll give you that.
I can't say that about a whole lot of games.
I think it was the first game you were constantly going positive with your KD, which none of us here care about our KD at all in any game.
The only thing I care about my KD is the fact that if it actually goes positive, I'm shocked.
And you're happy about it, which is completely understandable.
I don't really care what my average is. I just care how I did for that match.
Yeah.
If I don't get last place and I went broke even, it's a miracle.
It's a win in your book.
That is very true.
I mean, it's not like Battlefield, where no matter what, I never get last place, but my kill-death ratio is like 0.1. If I'm
really
lucky.
Really? 0.1?
I did have that one match where I went 1-47 and got first place.
Yeah. Holy shit!
Yeah, he did that. He kept reviving me and I kept
getting
kills.
You remember Battlefield 3, the subway station?
Yeah.
You remember the escalator of death?
Yep.
I just stood up there with defibrillator. defibrillator and medkits. And I ended up getting first place. Like, I destroyed Josh by like 10,000 points. And I'm not kidding you. It was ridiculous.
It was fucking.
And I'm like, that's never happening again.
And I actually think I quit playing after that match.
Yeah, he didn't like the
fact I was like, are you serious? Will beat me.
Okay, so since
we ended up talking about that, let's talk about Battlefield Hardline.
Okay.
Because there are actual choices in that game if you play the single player. Good cop, bad cop.
I did. I don't remember that.
You don't remember good cop, bad cop?
I don't.
That was the only choice. Basically, at the end of every chapter, you had a choice, be good cop or bad cop. That was it. It was Paragon Renegade to an extreme. But you're basically playing an 80s cop show.
Yeah.
At least that's the way I described it. It was an 80s cop show with regular weapons.
I mean, you're right.
I would describe it as like an NCIS and a cops episode combined into one.
But you did get those choices, but ultimately, they didn't have a whole hell of a lot of effect.
It led to the same thing no matter what.
I think the only difference was, did you die or not?
I don't even think you died.
But did you die?
I don't even think you died.
Well, you bring that up, and it makes me think of another one that had relatively an illusion of choice on what you go for. L.A. Noire. Just some of the things, the way you did things.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Now you say the way you investigated crimes, the way you handled your interviews.
Yeah.
Yeah, but still,
it
in
all
the end,
ended the exact same way.
It didn't matter. And I really like the fact that we have morality choices, but I really wish that there were actual consequences.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and consequences that matter, not the small things. Like, you know, we say L.A. Noire, all you did was get scolded if you did the wrong things. Or, like, you got a bad rating. Like, if you're a cop and you shoot someone and you weren't supposed to shoot them, like, give us a reason. Give us an effect. Not just...
I want to be hounded by internal affairs.
I'm not going that far, but something like that.
Well, I'm saying not me, the character.
Well,
that's what happens, isn't it?
Like, at the end of the episode, you have to report to internal affairs and basically have, like, a little interview.
Yeah, oh, I don't remember that.
No, I'm saying if that happened...
Oh, okay.
I'm saying that's the way they should have done it.
Should have been DLC.
Internal affairs. Because screw you.
Internal affairs, that hot secretary with the banging bod. So, I don't know. I don't know.
That's how it goes.
Another game where you had choices that nothing mattered in the end. Spec Ups the Line.
I was actually just about to bring that up. Okay, believe it or not, this is not a Troy Baker game. It's a Nolan North game.
God damn it.
There's nothing wrong with Nolan North.
No, his secondary obsession.
Yeah.
No, sorry, third. What's the chick that does the Metal Gear songs?
You know this.
I don't. Diana Burke.
There you go. Wait. Also, why did you want to play Telltale Batman?
Why?
Because there's Troy Baker and...
I don't remember the chick's name because I'm terrible at remembering names.
You remembered it while I was playing it.
Yeah, that's because I heard her voice.
Oh.
I'm weird like that. If I hear the voice, I can remember the name.
He's like, I have to play this because it's got the two of them. It's like...
Same people from Tales from the Borderlands, from Metal Gear Solid 5.
Anyway,
pretty much in anything.
Oh, fair enough.
So let's go back to Spec Ops the Line. Wow, we really went off topic there.
Oh, well.
So no matter what your choices were, in the end, the whole game was you having a psychotic break, right?
Like, yeah, you were losing your mind going crazy.
Which, mind you, Spec Ops the Line was an amazing game, an amazing story. But the choices didn't matter. And we gotta have consequences for these actions. I mean, that would be great. I mean, if it actually truly affected anything. Like, if for some strange reason you're playing a game and you're being a complete douchebag, and in the very end you are the villain, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, your guy was going so insane from having to white phosphorus a village with a bunch of kids and innocent people.
Yeah.
Like, well, he went a little morbid there.
No, that's
what happens.
I never played it, so I wouldn't know.
Yeah, he's having a mental break. Like, at the very end of the game, he has the realization that that's what he did.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't realize, as you're playing, that that's what's occurred.
Like, early on
he's
in the game...
He's blocked it out completely, mentally.
Really early in the game, you come across these two people, like, tied to a rope and an overhead, like, road sign.
Mm-hmm.
They're hanging down, and you have the comms of the bad guy talking in your ear, like, shoot one of these guys in order to proceed. So, you shoot them, and your squad mates are like, what the hell was all that for? And just, like, wondering what the hell's going on. You basically get to the end, and you realize that the entire time throughout the game, you are the bad guy. That was you having your own voice talking to yourself, and the people you shot were already dead.
Think like Black Ops.
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
The illusion, the mental illusions.
Yes.
So it's
like, is that dude helping you? And he doesn't actually, he's been dead for years.
Yep.
Like, everything he goes through in this makes him go literally crazy, and he just loses his mind. And then that comes down to there's three endings in the game. After it's all said and done,
They're not really that different. I mean, like, what? It's just a matter of who ends it, really, right?
Well,
you want to describe it that way? Like,
I'll just describe the endings. The game's been out long enough. Like, the military comes to apprehend you because you are deemed a hostile, very dangerous person. So you're armed with the AA-12, fully automatic shotgun with explosive rounds. And
naturally.
There's like 30 or 40 guys aiming their guns at you, telling you to put your weapon down. You have two choices there.
That's going to lead me to my next game, by the way.
You can either put your gun down and accept being taken in, or you can fire back. And if you shoot back, if you get killed, the ending is you die. If you kill them all, it's just you walking off into the wasteland of Dubai.
You walk off like the Hulk. Gotcha.
Yeah, pretty much.
But still, really, it's like a 30-second ending change.
Yeah, that's about it.
So, since you say standing there in front of a bunch of guys with guns and trying to take them out, Red Dead Redemption.
Mm-hmm.
Another game where you do have choices.
You do?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I've only played through like once.
No, you get... Basically, it's Paragon or Renegade.
Yeah.
It's good guy, bad guy. But in the end, it doesn't fucking matter.
In the end, the FBI still kills you.
Yeah, yep. Which is depressing.
You still get gunned down, and your kid hunts them down.
And somehow, miraculously, over the course of a year, your kid goes from, like, 15 to 27.
Yeah, yeah. Right. That's an impressive beard for 1 year.
Yeah.
That is a very impressive beard.
I mean, Ryan still can't do that.
Well, he's got that neck beard going on.
Your mom's a neck beard.
You got nothing on your cheeks, yo.
Yours.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Ryan, you got nothing on your cheeks, yo.
Because I shaved it all off.
Oh, well, I just thought you couldn't grow it there.
No,
wait, so that's your intentional look?
No, it's been a couple days.
You okay there, Josh?
I think you broke
it. Ryan, what do you got for a game? Let's hear it.
I told you.
What?
I don't remember. Max Payne. There you go.
No, I said Max Payne. Okay, well, what else?
You brought up one example?
Bro!
You're supposed to be a gamer. Come on, man.
What have I told you in past podcasts?
The first system
you play shitty games. Gotcha.
First system you got was PS2.
I realized that is a lie. I found out later that my dad had an Xbox and we had a Nintendo. Or not an Xbox,
technically, 64. He's lying, because his first gaming was a Game Boy. You played the original Pokemon.
But before that,
speaking of Pokemon, there's an illusion of choice for you. You're starting Pokemon.
That's a pretty good example. I mean, I don't know if that really falls under this category. I mean, yes, you get to make that choice, but you weren't really expecting that to... You weren't expecting that to do anything.
So it's like an illusion of choice that you really didn't fucking realize was an illusion of choice.
I would consider it one, because it changes literally nothing throughout the game except what your rival starts with.
There's more of a choice. There's more of a change if you answer, are you a boy or a girl?
Exactly.
Than there is what your starter Pokemon is.
Illusion.
Fucking Pokemon.
We need games where there's actually something that occurs because of it. Mm-hmm. Not just little snippets here and there. I mean, yes, it's really cool that the dialogue changes so you can get a different experience when you end up playing it. But it'd be really nice if there were consequences at the end.
Right.
Right? Honestly, probably Spec Ops is probably one of the higher ups because there is an actual change. But yet again, it's not a build-up. It's just 30 seconds.
Well, another one that I loved the shit out of, that you absolutely hated, which there's one to two choices.
Alpha Protocol?
Yep. How'd you know?
That game, the narrative was great, but it's like they tried to be Mass Effect.
And Splinter Cell.
With no powers and shitty weapons.
The weapons were really shitty.
So that was my problem. Alpha Protocol was suggested to me because I loved Mass Effect so much, and I really tried. I really, really tried. I might be able to play it now, but at the time, that wasn't something I could play.
Yeah.
Fair. But yeah, like, any enemy in the game, like, any main enemy that you're sent to kill or extract or anything like that, or even your friendly NPCs, depending on how you talk to them, like whether you're professional, suave, whatever, you will either befriend them or piss them off to the point where they really don't care about you or they want to be your best friend. So if you piss off one of your handlers, you're not going to get all the intel you need to complete the mission perfectly.
What do you got?
Fable.
I would say your choices actually do matter in Fable.
Not all the time. And the first one, not so much. They just mattered whether or not you went bad or good. And the third one.
Well,
the second.
Not if you play Lost Chapters.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm just using Fable as
regular Fable. Fable Lost Chapters.
Yeah.
That actually did come into effect.
Yes.
But you're playing Pip against
the villain?
Jack of Blades. So it actually affected it in Lost Chapters.
Oh, yeah. In Lost Chapters. I'm talking like just main Fable.
That's still main Fable.
It is, but it's like a expansion type.
Which is still
main Fable. It's an expansion offshoot that could be played separately.
Yes.
It's still main Fable. I never played it though, so.
No, it's but look, that's, I mean, it gives you the illusion of choice. Whether you want to be good, you want to be bad, nothing really happens unless you're playing Lost Chapters, of course.
Well, let's see. Two. Two was the tarot card ending, right? Where you chose greed.
Money, yeah, green. Yeah, yep.
Really not a whole hell out there. Three, just who survived. Mm-hmm. That's really all it was. And you could make everybody survive while being the good guy. Although I think it was really cool that it was much easier to make everybody survive.
By being an ass.
Being an asshole king. I mean, they did very good about the reasoning for it.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like, oh, just do it this way. It was, this is what's going on. The villain didn't want to do what he was doing, but he was trying to do what was best for his people. So what if they're hungry? They're not starving to death. So what if they're getting sick? Most of them are living. He's trying to save everybody.
Yep.
I mean, it was, do they suffer for the long term or do they die a horrible death? Instantly. So I kind of felt that they did a great job there.
Yeah.
If time passed real time, well, not real time, you know, in game time.
More like than
day and skip, night cycle moving.
Not skips 40 days after you make one fucking console meeting choice.
Then I think the illusion would be gone.
Yes.
Your choices would truly actually matter.
Yes.
Because you wouldn't be able to just farm that money forever and count it as one day.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's where it kind of fell off when I'm talking about that. It's like, yeah, I made the choice to build this place here and not spend the money, but, you know, 17 days go by, I gotta figure out how to make money quick. It's just, I can't
tell you how many times I collected a month's worth of rent from one property over the course of one day.
A lot.
Oh, yeah.
Multiple months over one day.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's where it really broke down.
Maybe they just pay an hourly rented.
Not with how much I was charging.
Well, I mean, you never know.
Okay, let's go to a game where your choices affected a little bit heavier.
Okay.
And you're probably going to argue me on this one. Infamous.
I honestly...
We'll talk about Second Son.
Okay, that was the only one I played. Guess like why?
Troy Baker? Yep. Seriously?
Yep.
That's the only one I didn't play.
Okay,
that's
the only one I could get into. You being good or bad determined a lot of things. Like the survival of your... the people that took you in.
Right, let's
at
go
the very
with
beginning.
That. I don't know.
Kind of like an Indian tribe-like thing actually took you in.
I was going to say, you got to remember, this game came out with the PS4.
Fair enough.
Three.
Okay, so, but your choices determined what happened to the bad guys. Like, you remember the gamer guy, right? The guy was obsessed with MMOs, and his power was... Oh, summoning?
So we are talking about Second
Son? We're talking about Second Son. That's what he said.
I thought you said we were talking about the first one first.
No, said we'll talk about Second Son.
Okay. I wasn't paying attention. I'm sorry.
Because it much more affected Second Son than it did the previous two titles.
I mean, the illusion of choice was in the second two titles. You're good or bad. Didn't really affect how it worked. It just affected how your powers worked. But anyways, let's go back to Second Son.
But when it came to Second Son, it actually affected the bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you spare the nerd, instead of summoning demons from his game, he's literally, like, he's helping you with your cause, and you have these huge angels coming through and just wiping out the enemy army that's basically trying to control the people. And then the neon chick.
Yeah, I don't remember her name, but I know who you're talking about.
So she either basically blows everybody the hell up, or she's rushing through trying to save people.
Yeah.
So your choices actually affect other people, which doesn't happen a whole hell of a lot in regards to a game. It's normally like, okay, I'm just gonna go away now. Thank you for letting me live.
I'm glad you didn't kill me. Bye.
Yeah, pretty much.
I'm no longer story relevant. Bye. And so, I mean, it happened more there. But in the end, it was kind of the same deal. I mean, there really wasn't much choice. You chose whether to kill the chick or not.
All right, fair.
Yeah.
And that was really the only real change. A game where choices mattered, that you didn't actually have choices. Dishonored. You truly did not have choices in the game, but your gameplay style
determined your choice. You do have a choice throughout the game. Whether you kill that guard over there all by himself, that would be really fun to just walk in there and stab him in the face,
or just
go complete mission.
Yep.
That's why I got the worst ending every time, because that game was really, really fun, and I love stealth games, but don't get me wrong. Give me all those powers. I want to have fun.
You can have the good or the bad ending. There is no real in between. And since you don't actually make choices, I think that was kind of cool. But at the same time, it didn't matter. Apparently it matters. I don't know how it would play off in two. Because if you got the good ending, she was a wise, noble ruler.
Yeah.
If you got the bad ending, she was like beheading people left and right and ruling with an iron fist. And I felt horrible when I beat that game because I corrupted a little girl.
Well, I mean, maybe you shouldn't have taken your daughter to...
No, the first one.
Oh, okay.
Maybe you shouldn't have taken her to take your daughter to work day. That's all I can think of.
That's true. Damn it, I had another one right on the tip of my tongue, too.
No, she just saw how you handled everything, and the solution was kill everybody that gets in your way.
I want to be just like Daddy.
Pretty much, right?
It wasn't Daddy. Her bodyguard.
Corvo was her dad.
Yeah. Corvo was her dad?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I didn't think Corvo was her dad.
That's how the second one starts.
Yeah. Oh, well, I never played the second one, so... In the first one, it kind of alluded to it.
Yeah. It didn't really say it. It just...
You were just really close with the queen.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think they are, like, biological father-daughter. I think it's one of those things that...
Since her mother was dead.
Yes.
And he was now her... Since he was her bodyguard.
Yes. And he's after been around he saved the longest. Her.
Okay.
That's why I think it's
he
like
is
that.
Her influence.
Yes.
He's her father figure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll accept that.
That's the best way I can think of it.
You said that about, like, you're corrupting a little girl and everything like that. It made me think of another one. It's not really so much of an illusion of choice. It's just the choice barely affected the gameplay. BioShock. Little Sisters.
Good. Changed the ending. That's
it. Well, I mean, it changed the ending, but, like, it wasn't really a ginormous thing.
Okay, so I've never actually killed all the girls.
I never killed a single one.
The reason I say that is, do they try to save you at the end of the game?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's bullshit.
Yeah, that is bullshit.
If that didn't occur, I would say, okay, this actually truly falls under here. But if they still stop this guy, then no. I mean, you were absorbing them and killing them. Why are they saving you?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they weren't corrupted little girls when they came and saved me because I saved them.
Yep.
And go to BioShock Infinite. Was there any change based on the choices you made?
No, there was absolutely no change. Like, remember when you had to choose the coin, the bird, or the cage?
Yep.
Didn't change a fucking thing. And that pisses me off. I will accept a small change. I will accept certain things occurring. But I will not accept that it has no point at all.
Like, see, that, as soon as I got to that part, which, let's be honest, how long ago did I play through it? Like, maybe a month?
Yeah, I mean, I played it at launch, so there wasn't any info if it was going to matter or not.
I didn't look anything up. I tried playing it when it came out, couldn't get into it. Tried playing it again a couple months ago, whatever. I loved it. But I didn't know that your choices didn't matter, because I figured that if I would go back through and do all the opposite choices, something would change.
Yeah.
Other than, you know, at the very start, when you're at the carnival, whatever, if you throw the ball at the Irish people, the Irish and the black lady, because I know that if you don't throw it at them, they give you something, which, you know, it's pointless. It's just a clothing item.
Yeah, they help you out a little later in the game.
Which, that's pretty much the only thing I've noticed. Anything else...
But yeah, all the other choices are bullshit.
You still die at the end.
100%.
That is 100% an illusion.
And if you play Burial at Sea...
Because there's no effect at all.
Now, if you play Burial at Sea,
I need
it's even worse.
But yet again, that's... I think I have that on the Xbox, so...
Yeah. Like, you're still playing as Booker DeWitt in an alternate time. Pretty much same outcome still occurs.
I wish that when you got to the lighthouses, all that changed.
Oh, yeah.
Based off of what you did. I mean, that would have been cool. But no matter what, you find out you were a douchebag. It doesn't matter if you were trying to be good or not. You were still a D-bag in the end.
Completely true.
I mean, you did the right thing, finally.
It just took you too long to do it.
Yep.
That's all it came down to.
But, I mean, the whole thing in regards to that was, basically, your choices don't matter. I mean, that's what the game was about. It's, no matter what these realities, whatever your choice is, there's just an alternate reality where this is what's going to happen. It was everything ended up at one point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that was a bit of a mindfuck ending.
A little bit.
I think of all the games we've listed, Spec Ops, The Line wins the biggest mindfuck ending. But
yeah. Again, haven't played it.
I would recommend it.
It was a good game.
It was really.
I've heard really good things about it.
It was a shooter.
Like, imagine Army of Two, but better.
No.
I would say better than Army of Two, because there was an actual story.
But Army of Two was awesome.
Army of Two was way too fun.
Well, I'm saying that because Army of Two is pure co-op. If you have someone to play with, that's awesome. But imagine if you're playing Army of Two by yourself.
I wouldn't play it by myself.
Exactly.
I hated playing
it by myself. And Spec Ops, the story is specifically single player.
It was like Fear 3. I didn't like playing it by myself.
So that's why I would say it's better than Army of Two, because it's an enjoyable time by yourself.
Yeah.
What else do you got?
I have another one that's also coming out really soon.
It's Troy Baker?
No, it's not Troy Baker.
Nolan North?
It's not Nolan North.
Okay.
Well, actually, I don't know. I haven't heard the English voice actors, so maybe.
Persona?
Yes, actually.
Troy Baker was in 4. When you said English voice actors.
Troy Baker was in 4.
He's going to play Captain Kidd.
Well, I mean, maybe. He was Kanji Tatsumi.
I know, that's why I say he's going to play Captain Kidd.
I'd be completely okay with it. But at basically the very start of the game, when you first arrive in the Velvet Room, Igor's there telling you how your choices and how you choose to treat your friends will basically change your outcome. All it changes is the strength of the personas you make when you summon, combined, fuse, whatever. You feel like that it should change the ending. Because if you don't have any social links or anything like that to max, your ending should be worse.
Well, Persona 4, that's exactly what happened. It
had nothing to do with social links.
Mm-hmm.
It all had stuff to do on...
Nanako's had to do with social links. And then if you got to play beyond where the game ended, that was based off your social links. Otherwise, that was just the end. I mean, you could do extra stuff afterwards.
Everything that I've done... Okay, we'll go ahead and count Nanako's.
You never kill... You never let Nanako die, so...
No, I never did. Not once.
I didn't know it was an option.
Yeah. And then, what was his name? Dojima? Mm-hmm. Was that the dad?
Yeah.
Not his assistant.
No, I can't remember his name.
The bad guy. Yeah, the bad guy. He was the one that was throwing everybody in the TVs and murdering them.
Keiji Maeda.
No.
Actually close, I think. I don't know.
He's from Samurai Warriors.
If you do choose the right choices, you find out that he's the one behind it all. And then there's the true ending. Yeah.
But based off of your social links, you can actually play beyond the end of the game. Did you know that?
I did know that.
Okay.
But I was mainly talking about my favorite one, Persona 3.
Okay.
I should have specified. Like, no matter what you
do. I'm just saying that, yes, but yeah. Persona is a game where your choices can affect. But sometimes you don't even get to the point where you have those choices.
Right.
It's based off of your gameplay and choices at the same time. So it's kind of Dishonored meets Mass Effect.
Yeah, we'll go with that. But yeah, like pretty much nothing changes in 3. You beat the final boss no matter what happens. And, well, you just started playing through it, so I'm not going to spoil it because I'm a nice guy.
I'll forget.
No, you won't.
Probably not.
Exactly.
Scotch, scotch, scotchy, scotch.
Scotch, scotch, scotch.
Any more scotch?
No, fuck you.
Seriously? I finished my glass and you didn't?
Well, I had like up to here. You were down here.
I've also got another drink.
Yeah, I've been nursing it.
Yeah, you got another drink to get you schnockered.
This is going
to
be really strong now because I just haven't watered it down.
Yep.
Nope.
Oh yeah, we're drinking.
You already said that.
Oh yeah. My alcoholism showing again, apparently.
Fucking drunk.
Better zip your fly over there.
It's my old timers.
Hey, I have a grandfather with old timers.
Well, I'm sorry. My favorite author died of old timers, so.
He does, but I mean, I'm not that guy.
And if anybody has family that has Alzheimer's, I apologize for that joke. But you laughed. Next.
You know you did.
Josh, got any more?
I'm just in shame right now for that joke.
Seriously?
Sorry, air quote, joke.
Asshole. Ryan, anything?
No, I'm a loser.
Dragon Age Inquisition. I'm not talking the previous Dragon Ages, because the Dragon Ages before were illusions. Your choices, except for certain ones. Yes, it determined your ending. Like how you handle the Archdemon.
Yeah.
It determined how you got the baby.
If you got the baby.
I got the baby.
Okay, so we'll actually...
Cloud Morgan.
We'll just say... Dragon Age.
If I even got that far, I don't remember.
So, Dragon Age, your choices determine the ending. Some more than others. Like, you can literally choose to bang Morrigan, and the Archdemon will go into her unborn fetus. That is a choice. Alistair dying is not a choice. That's the ending I got when I first played through. Did you know Alistair dies? Okay.
Applaud Morrigan.
If Alistair is... Of course you did. So, if Alistair is your romance option... And his meter's all the way up. He was my favorite character in that game.
Gross.
And it's all the way up. I couldn't plow Morrigan. I was a chick.
Yeah, I was going to say it was like this.
I can't impregnate. A chick cannot impregnate another chick.
Says you.
I didn't have a turkey baster.
Have you ever watched National Geographic? Come on, bro.
All right.
Don't ask.
So if you romance Alistair and your affinity with him is max,
mm-hmm.
he steals your sword and kills the Archdemon so you won't die. You can make Taryn Loghain become a warden and he will kill the Archdemon so you can live. There are certain things. Now, Taryn Loghain, you have to do at a specific point in the game. Morrigan, you literally get given a choice. Alistair, that's all tracked in the background. You have no idea. So yes, your choices do really matter. I'm not counting the Morrigan one, though, because that's literally you saying, okay, let's do it this way.
That's you saying, nice shoes, what the fuck?
So, doggy or missionary? Is that a choice? No? Okay.
It's Morrigan, so it's probably doggy, because I don't think she wants to look at you.
Yeah, except for she's the one giving.
Oh my god!
You know she's into weird stuff. She can animal shift, shapeshift.
You put her on your list, so screw you.
Yeah.
She's hot. No, I chose Morgana or whatever. The bitch from...
No, you chose her from...
Yeah, you chose her.
Hey, Josh, how about you shut the fuck up?
Okay, my bad. I'm not talking for the rest of this episode.
Dragon Age Inquisition, those choices matter much more heavily. Mm-hmm. But you can see them coming. The first Dragon Age didn't.
Yeah.
Some of them you didn't. Like, I didn't even know that was an option for the ending of Dragon Age.
I
know,
clear.
It just happened. And I was screaming, oh my god, no, don't do that. I was perfectly, like, it makes you try to accept your fate up to that point. So it kind of threw me for a loop.
Or like when Morden kills himself.
Go on.
Or when Morden kills himself.
Mm-hmm.
Are you telling me there's more choices in Dragon Age Inquisition other than, do I go over here and grab this herb?
Yes, if you actually play the story. The story is pretty good.
I've tried to play the story and I got too bored.
What were you playing?
Inquisition.
What race? Class?
I don't know. It wasn't
dark and raw.
It wasn't the fact that the game itself was boring. It's the fact that as soon as I got to the free roaming portion of it, there was way too much on my map, and I got sensory overload and had to do it all. And by the time I actually got to the story,
so you weren't actually playing the story.
Correct.
No.
I stopped twice because I did the exact same thing.
Like, there was one.
I went and did. Basically, it's like, okay, I'll gain a few levels, and then I'm going to continue on the story and say, screw this, I'll come back later. And it worked out great that way. That wasn't what everybody did. I actually specifically saw an article shortly after the game launched that said, if you want to enjoy this game, get out of this zone as fast as you can. Do not touch everything.
But they just put too much in the game.
Yep.
Yeah. Way too much.
Too much in each zone.
My problem with
I think it should have been as you advance, more stuff unlocked. And then it would have been fine. Mm-hmm.
The problem I ran into was I was doing this long-ass quest line that I thought was the main quest line to get out of the zone into the next one.
And it was just all side stuff.
Yeah. It was just all, oh, hey, you're a fucking idiot for doing this because you don't get out yet.
Yeah, like, close all these points. I thought closing the rifts was how you advanced.
Yep.
And that's what I did the second time. The first time I did everything. But I never finished the whole zone. So then I just focused on the rifts, and that got insanely difficult really quick.
Yeah. I can imagine. At least you didn't try to fight a dragon.
I did.
Oh.
I beat it.
Oh. How the fuck? Never mind.
I cleared the entire zone first.
Okay. Okay.
And you can ask Sarah. I got out of bed, because I play games while laying down. I got out of bed and did a victory dance, because I was so happy that I finally beat the thing.
Gross. And you were still stuck in the zone, right?
No. I went back specifically to kill it.
Oh, okay. I would have laughed if you were still stuck there. How do I get out?
No, that was during my story playthrough, so I was actually past that zone.
Okay. Damn, that would have been hilarious.
Like, I did this.
I can just imagine you dancing there because you beat the boss and cleared the zone and you're still stuck there.
KOTOR.
Yes. One or two.
That's all we get.
One or two.
Yes.
One or two.
Just a series.
Well, start with the first one then, because I remember the first one like the back of my fucking hand. Well, like all the choices you make
that's
up through.
No, he knows Star Wars from back.
He knows it like the palm of his hand because, you know, beat off material.
So he knows it like his girlfriend, gotcha.
Exactly. His girlfriend, air quotes, still haven't met her.
And you won't.
Good. But the first KOTOR, Knights of the Old Republic, for those of you that don't know the acronym, was...
Damn acronyms.
Phenomenal. You could choose to be light side, dark side, so Jedi, Sith, whatever you want to do. Depending on how you play through it, though, doesn't matter up until one point. Where you run into Darth Malak?
Yeah, I think that's right.
I think, yeah, it was Darth Malak.
It's been a while.
It's Darth Malak.
You find out that, like, because
it on Steam, so...
Yeah, he does. Throughout the entire game, you've been hearing stories about Darth Revan. And how he's such an evil person, a bad person, all that fun stuff. You get Darth Malak, who is the apprentice of Darth Revan. Turns out the character you've been playing is Darth Malak. And then you can then choose
Darth Revan.
Whatever, same difference. Saying too many names all in one go.
If you know anything about Star Wars lore, that's not something you're going to screw up. Okay. Right, Ryan?
Correct.
I'm sorry, then.
There's a master and an apprentice.
No, I was just referring in regards to Darth Revan.
Well, yeah, but still.
Like, but, okay, ignoring the fact that I'm an idiot when it comes to names...
Ain't that the truth?
If you were playing as, like, the good light side through the entire story of the game up until this point, you can still choose to take under your... Go back to Darth Revan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just set it right. And then it basically is just like, oh, everything you just did up to this point doesn't matter anymore. Otherwise, you can choose to kill Darth Malak and be all like, no, it's cool, Revan's stupid, basically.
Yeah, basically.
So, in Star Wars lore, Ryan, correct me if I'm wrong, Revan is the only one who is basically a balance to the Force, right? He's kind of light and dark?
Yes.
I would assume so because of the game.
I think that's why they did that, is that was playing off of actual Star Wars lore. And the only reason I know that is because of Scott, who was obsessed with the Star Wars books.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And I think Bob. I think Bob, too.
Bob, not as much as Scott. But yeah, pretty much same shit.
Same shit, different day.
But Star Wars games in general... I mean, Force Unleashed, same thing.
You had choices in Force Unleashed?
Yep.
Yeah, whether you were light or dark. And in the end,
you
were
do
an apprentice, weren't you? Or actually in the beginning.
What's that?
You were an apprentice at the beginning.
You're Darth Vader's at the beginning. But you start as Darth Vader's apprentice.
But yeah, basically, it's you can go light side.
Yeah. You essentially start gearing towards the light side, or if you want to do dark side.
Dark side was far cooler, you know, like ripping apart that Imperial ship
from the ground,
making it crash.
Yep.
I honestly don't remember any choices, and I just started playing through it again about a week ago.
I love Star Wars The Force Unleashed.
Force Unleashed was really fun.
I need to buy number two. I never played it.
But your choices actually affected those games. So I guess there are certain games where it does really actually matter. That's another one of those, the ending's only slightly different things.
Okay.
I wish whole story paths were different. I'm actually out of games that I can think of off the top of my head. I was too busy doing research for our mystery episode 20.
Okay.
So that's why I was kind of looking at you guys more for this one.
Another one I played on the Vita was Zero's Escape, Virtue's Last Reward.
It's okay.
Words!
Surprisingly a really fun game, really decent but confusing story until you actually get the real ending. It's apparently coming to PS4 soon.
It's one of those games that makes sense in the end?
Yes.
But didn't...
It didn't make sense at all going through it, but once I got to the end, it made a lot of sense, but it's an escape room game. Like, you start off in a room...
Like Deception?
No.
Well, no, like an actual escape room.
Like
an actual
escape room. Like, you have the puzzles you have to solve, which started off easy, got really fucking mind-bending.
It's a puzzle game, dude.
It was actually surprising. I wasn't expecting
that. That's why it's on my end.
I got it for free with PlayStation Plus. I was like, fuck it, I'll download and try it. Fell in love with it. But the choices you have throughout the game are basically who you choose to be nice to, what room you choose to go to. None of it really matters because it all leads to essentially the same thing, just with different people dying throughout. Because
in the end?
It doesn't really matter.
It doesn't even matter.
I didn't have any ice. It was fine, watered down a little bit.
Oh, okay.
My scotch is a little potent.
Like, that's just another example of a game where your choices don't really matter. Because even in the game itself, you're able to time travel, which it's actually a mechanic that the protagonist gets. You're able to go to the different realities, and it really confuses everyone else because you know what's going on and they don't. It's kind of awesome, but at the same time, it's really confusing until you beat the game.
I can think of another kind of puzzle game like that. God, what the hell is the name? It's like Shadows of Destiny or something like that. You basically keep going back in time to prevent your own death, but it never matters. You come back, you just die a different way. It was a really interesting...
Final Destination, the video game?
No, because you were going to die no matter what in that.
No, somebody okay. said that it sounds like some movie Tom Cruise was in.
Edge of Tomorrow.
Yeah, that.
Oh, okay.
Gosh, why do I know these things?
I was about to say Elysium, but I don't think that's right.
No, so, I have a slight story for y'all. Oh, for anybody who listened to our last episode. So we were sitting in an Xbox Live party with our buddy Bob, who does not listen to the podcast.
Jackass.
And my wife was editing the episode, and she's like, really, babe? What's his name and what's her face? And Bob goes, passengers? I'm like, you have no frame of reference to what we were even talking about, and you guessed the right fucking movie.
It was kind of depressing that he guessed it, too.
I couldn't stop laughing.
I wish I was there for that.
God, it was hilarious. Based on what's her name and what's his face, he guessed the movie in that exact context.
I mean, Ryan guessed what I was trying to go
for. The actors, yeah.
But, you know, he had the frame of reference. We were talking about Mass Effect. Like, Bob had no clue anything whatsoever about what this episode was about. He just heard that, and he's like, you mean passengers? Like, you son of a bitch!
Like, apparently we're too smart, or we need to get dumber friends.
I think we need to get
Bob's pretty dumb, so...
Bob's not dumber. That dumb.
Dumber.
I love how you're staring at the microphone when you're saying that, like, just in case he listens.
I mean, he told me he listens to a couple episodes every now and then.
Oh, hi, Bob.
Love you, Bob.
And just so you know, Bob, we rip on most people we game with. Like, does anybody else remember? Ben, quit ruining every fucking game.
Hey, that was in the last episode, too, wasn't it?
Which was hilarious because his cousin liked us right after that episode posted.
Good job, Randy.
I laughed at that one, too. I'm like, I wonder if he actually listened to the episode first.
He's like, oh, my cousin, you know.
He's played games with him. He knows.
He knows. He's stupid.
Okay, so what it comes down to is these choices actually need to fucking matter.
Oh, yeah. Hands down.
Wait, was that the first F-bomb?
No, I think I've dropped like 5
times. Okay. I don't know. Who cares?
Okay, so... Does anybody have... What's your final take on this?
I feel like, as a gamer, I want to have choices matter in games, whether it's something drastic that's going to change in the main story that somebody else might not get, like you would get sometimes in MMOs. I know there are some MMOs out there that go based on what you choose in a story-related process. Something else is going to change for you massively in the story. I would like that in single-player games.
Well, like Final Fantasy 14 is a good example of...
I don't even know.
Like, if you don't do daily quests, the daily quests actually change the world, literally, around you. Like, I could show you pictures of my Mog home area, and I took a picture of it for Ryan because my city was fully built, and his was just all but nothing but clear... Nothing but rubble. Like, it wasn't even cleared out yet.
Okay, I know what you're talking about now, because I started doing the Ixol Beast Tribe quests. Mm-hmm. I started doing that since
you watch the world change, but it doesn't change for everybody else.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's kind of cool.
That is,
I mean, this
thing.
Doesn't really, these aren't really choices. The only choice you're doing is whether you want to do these quests or not.
But you're choosing to help them build up their community.
Yep, you are choosing to help people.
And like, when you get that, I mean, F those people.
Yes.
And when you
just don't Just keep saying it in a row and we're fine.
And when you do something like that in Mass Effect, it doesn't matter. I want a single player narrative to actually change. Be more like The Witcher.
Okay, so,
Ryan. I like how you threw that one in there.
No, because your choices do actually matter
know,
in that.
I know.
Ryan, I'm going to let you go and then I'll expand on what he was talking about. Your view in regards to choices in gaming.
So I've only played a couple of them.
Yeah, start playing good games.
I'm trying to. The few I've played, like I said before, with like the LA Noir or something like that, it needs to matter. It needs to give you purpose. If you're going to choose save this person, but it doesn't really give you a real like big narrative change, what's the point of putting it in there? After you told me why people were so gung-ho, because I really wasn't paying attention with the Mass Effect one, once you like explained to me what it was, I completely get it now why people were getting angry. I wouldn't get as angry as they fucking got, but I can get it, because you spent all this time getting your Paragon up, and you could just kill them all.
Yeah.
Instant renegade. Like,
and it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
You're dead.
Yeah, so give me more of a reason to want to change the narrative. Don't just throw it in there because you have time to kill.
Okay. So here's my view on it. As a person, not as a gamer, I would really like choices to matter. Like, I would really like it to elaborately change everything. As a gamer, I understand why. How long would it take, say, Mass Effect, to come out if all your choices mattered?
Oh, it would take a fuck ton of years.
Because of how many different paths it would have to be, and how huge would the game be?
I will say yes to that. How long was it between Andromeda and 3?
5 years.
There you go.
They wanted to make it look pretty in 4K.
I mean, that's fine. But, I mean, we waited 4 years for another Mass Effect. Five years.
Yeah, but BioWare has other shit.
Yeah.
What have they released recently that's not Mass Effect? I just want to know, because I honestly have no idea.
Look it up. I know they've had some small stuff that came out, because most of their team is on Mass Effect.
Mm-hmm.
But they were making a completely 4K game before the systems were even updated to it.
And that's fine. It's just...
And there's these they didn't want to have a Mass Effect 3 incident. That was the reason they took... According to them, that's the reason they took their time, is they did not want a Mass Effect 3 incident where everybody got pissed off.
And that's perfectly fine.
And they held off EA as long as they could.
And that's perfectly fine, but you can get the time. Granted, they had to fight EA for it. But you can get the time. Don't just give us the illusion. If you're going to take 5 years to create a game, I'm not saying that. The Mass Effect's going to be like that.
BioWare's also not a huge team.
Yeah. If you're going to give us 5 years to make a game, give us some time.
I don't think Ryan realizes how much effort it takes to make a game.
I don't think you realize how much money... He only plays
AAA titles where there's like hundreds and hundreds of people on it.
That's right. We went over this.
I don't think you understand how big EA is.
It's not EA that's making
it. It's BioWare, I know.
Yeah,
but they can still subsidiary.
No. If they do that, EA has their hands in the pot.
Yeah.
That's the problem. Look what happened when EA put their hand in the pot with Mass Effect 3. Everybody got pissed off at the ending. Everybody got pissed off at the gameplay. They said it was rushed. And then the microtransactions for the multiplayer.
So which,
microtransactions for the multiplayer is still there. But other than that, for the most part, that's the only thing EA has actually put hand in for it.
So what you're doing is making assumptions. I know EA is...
I'm not making assumptions. For what they're going off press releases.
Press releases are fine, but you don't know the press releases for Mass Effect Andromeda.
Yeah, that's what it was
for. Not all of them.
I know a good chunk of them.
Is the game out?
No. Technically, from their development team. Like, I've looked into it. Just because I wasn't looking at actual gameplay or videos or anything, it doesn't mean that I wasn't researching this game.
No, and like, I'm just saying, as wanting to know, I'm not trying to like start arguments or heated debates. I want to know. Like, could they have the amount of time if they had the manpower to do it?
It's a 43 gig game, so no.
So no. That's fine. And that's good.
No, I really don't think that they had the time for it.
And that's fine. And
a big thing in regards to that is the fact that BioWare is not a gigantic company.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they are a powerhouse developer because all of their stuff is pretty good. And if you want to go off that contact, Dragon Age Inquisition, that's what we had in between.
Yeah.
Well,
so
that was just doomed to fail anyways.
Well, that was still, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If that. And it was a big game. And not even talking like big title. Like, I mean, it's a huge fucking game.
Yeah.
So you've got that. Now, if Valve tried pulling this crap, they can go to hell. When was the last time they released an actual game?
December 27th, 1948. It feels like that.
If you have a three in the name, you're probably wrong.
If I had what?
A three.
Oh, I know.
Because I can't count to three.
Gabe can't count to three, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm well aware. That's why I tried to avoid all threes.
All threes. Maybe that's why Inquisition was shit.
But it wasn't.
It was still the third game in the process.
It was still a three.
And Mass Effect 3 was considered...
Okay. No, I can shoot this argument down right here. Max Payne 3.
They didn't make...
Fuck. Okay.
But it wasn't BioWare. they didn't make a KOTOR 3.
Not yet.
Jade Empire died after 1.
That's unfortunate, too, because that was a good game.
It's a very good game.
Fuck you.
You want to play it? It's on my phone.
It's on my computer.
It's on your Steam?
Mm-hmm.
I need to link my account again. Remember, that's the computer I had to reset up. Okay, so, yes. I really want those choices. I understand why they're not done that way.
Yeah.
I mean, Like, Fairy Fencer did it. But look at how Fairy Fencer played. It was not a graphically intense game. No. It was not, like, the actual discussions are pictures.
I mean, there was a lot of reused resources throughout the levels.
Yes.
Which I don't care about that.
Yeah, I didn't give a crap about that either.
So,
but it was the fact that because of that, that's why they managed to do that.
Yeah.
So if you have cookie cutter crap, I'm not giving you a slide on it.
Who was the power behind Witcher?
They have CD Projekt Red.
CD Projekt Red is the
publisher.
Is a CD Projekt Red.
Okay. No, what am I looking for?
They are a... You mean the developer?
Yeah.
CD Projekt Red.
Yeah.
So they did everything.
They did everything.
Was it made by a different company?
No. They did everything. And they're only like... I want to say CD Projekt Red is only like 40, 50 people.
Somewhere around there.
They're literally living off of their money from Witcher 2 while they're trying to make Cyberpunk 2077.
Something like that, yeah.
Which... It's apparently slated for the Xbox One with no date.
Yep.
So I was a little shocked that it was actually posted for a console this time, because last time it was...
So what you're saying is Josh's comment about he doesn't realize how long it takes to make a game just kind of shot itself to shit.
What do you mean?
Witcher 3 took...
It took a long time. That's true.
Okay, hold on. You cannot look at Witcher 2 in regards to time frame.
I blocked Witcher 2 out of my mind.
Witcher 2 was out for like 3 years on PC before it ever came to a console.
Yeah.
So
I'm just saying.
You're looking at like an 8-year gap, and that's their only project.
And that's fine.
Well, okay.
But other than...
Cyberpunk, which constantly got put off because they were working on Witcher.
Yeah.
What other games constantly get put off all the fucking time?
Well, those are the only games they have.
Yeah.
CD Projekt Red does an amazing job. They put so much time in, and it shows. I mean, look at... Yeah, you could buy the season pass for Witcher, but you're looking at, like, an extra 80 to 100 hours of gameplay based off of that season
pass. Didn't it win Game of the Year?
Yes, one of the expansions.
Not DLC. The Blood and Wine expansion pack won Game of the Year.
Yeah, they don't even consider it DLC.
It's because all DLC is free.
So, and supposedly, that's what they're doing with Mass Effect. All DLC is going to be free. I wonder how they got that past EA.
I mean, I know with Mass Effect 3, all multiplayer DLC was free.
It's supposed to be all DLC is going to be free. Whether EA puts their hand in the cookie jar and takes that away, we'll see. But they made enough money off of microtransactions from 3, that microtransactions do exist in Andromeda, that they might be able to pull it off.
Hopefully.
But that's why if you pay $100 for the Super Deluxe version,
yeah,
you don't get a season pass, because there's not supposed to be any paid DLC.
So, and, you know, you said about the microtransactions, EA's making a lot of money off of it. I mean, you can't even just count Mass Effect 3. They started out with, what, Battlefield 4 with the boxes, loot boxes?
Mass Effect was out before Battlefield.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah.
It continues going in their game. Is what I meant.
It pretty much started with Mass Effect and went
Did you not see what happened when EA took over Plants vs. Zombies?
No, I don't play Plants vs. Zombies.
Microtransactions out the ass.
Okay.
And
that would make sense.
Really pissed off people.
Well, I mean, and just look at it. They're making so much money off this. I mean,
yep.
The least they can do is give us something back. They're making fucking hundreds of dollars off of people like Mo, who buy $100 worth of boxes and then goes out and spend another $100 on the boxes.
When it comes to EA, what it comes down to is the developers have to stand up to them. And after the Mass Effect 3 disaster, which everybody still loved Mass Effect 3.
Oh yeah.
I'm not calling the game a flop. It was a great game. But it didn't hold up to the standard that the previous ones did, because EA had their hands in it. And they even admitted that EA was part of the problem with it. They weren't pushing all the blame on it, because EA is notorious for screw you, I'll sue you. I mean, there's a reason why they won evilest company in the world. Which, by the way, that's something that we need to talk about at some point.
Okay.
Because there's something wrong with gamers when we can agree that EA is the worst company in the world. BP had an oil spill that year that...
Well, EA still beat them in worst company of the year. Yeah.
I'm sorry. EA is not as evil as we make them out to be. It just specifically affects our hobby, and that's why.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Mind you, I'm not going to... I'll defend EA a little bit, because they've done so much.
Oh, yeah.
But I won't call them evil. Shady, yes. Evil, no.
I mean, they put out one of my favorite shooters.
I swear to God.
Battlefield.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, Activision is Call of Duty.
I don't pay attention. I just assume EA works on everything.
At this point, it's money and
everything. Kinda, really. Does anybody... Let's completely step away from this.
Okay.
Does anybody have anything they're playing that they want to talk about? Any news that they have?
Mass Effect comes out when this episode airs. Done.
Yeah, that's about it.
Okay, so
Mass Effect.
I've actually been playing Mass Effect. Josh is a little pissed off at me.
No, I just want to play the multiplayer. That's all I give a shit about.
I have complaints about a game that I've been looking forward to. And I don't know if this is because I've kind of hyped it up for the last 5 fucking years.
Mm-hmm.
But there are certain things that I just can't get over.
Well, we'll save it for a review for those.
Well, no, this is just first impression.
Yeah.
Very first impression.
Okay.
So the game's pretty solid, gameplay-wise. The cover system used a little work, but this is pre-launch, so I'm going to give it a slide there. The voices do not match the depictions of the races. Maybe if you hadn't played a Mass Effect game before, but the Salarians do not sound like Salarians at all. Salarians are very fast-talking people, and there's a reason for that. They only live like 30 years, so they don't have time for idle chit-chat, but they're all pretty very... What's the word I'm looking for? There is a very... stereotypical Indian actor that plays one of them, and he speaks very slowly, and he kind of sounds slow. I can't think of anything you guys have probably seen him in, but it's a Salarian that speaks slow, and then the other one is normal. I mean, he sounds like a normal person at a regular speaking space. It's like, no, that's not the way they're supposed to be. Turians sound like Turians. Except for the female Turian that I ran into, that is not the party member, Josh. She didn't sound like a Turian. Where it's like two levels of voice kind of like ran over each other, so it sounds a little gravelly.
Yep.
A little bit of reverb.
Yep. And then the Krogan that I ran into doesn't sound like a Krogan at all. I mean, Krogans all kind of sound like the chain smokers and...
chain smoking brutes.
Yeah. But I remembered back to Mass Effect 3, where the female Krogan didn't sound like a Krogan at all.
No.
But it was fitting, and it's a female Krogan. So, okay. I'm going to give it a slight slide there. But everybody walks like freaking Salarians, like 8-foot-tall beanpoles. They're all kind of lurched, and their arms don't sit right, and the main character's always bug-eyed. And
he's always surprised at something.
He's always surprised about something. Like, seriously, even with, like, his eyes will open up like when he speaks, like he's actually surprised at something. That wasn't even a joke. He always looks surprised. And I don't know if that's because I chose a preset character view, but it kind of irked me a little bit. So, I mean, my problems aren't actually with the game. Mine are all cosmetic issues. So I guess I can get a slide there. I mean, I've been hyping this game for so long that I don't think the voices were ever going to match what I was expecting.
I don't think you've ever shut up about the game once.
I have shut up about the game.
You look back at the other
when Tails was coming out.
Well, no, you had to sleep a couple times.
When you look back at the other ones, it's like you said, you realize what they are, like a Drell. You know what their voices sound like. If you run into a Drell and it doesn't sound
you're
like...
You're not going to run into a Drell.
Well, I'm just saying, if that was the case...
Don't destroy my hopes.
And what was his name again?
One.
Thane Krios.
Yeah,
Thane. You run into someone that doesn't sound like Thane, it could be off-putting.
Well, I mean, even if you
off-putting.
Had...
Off-putting. Dude, you're not off-putting. I could tell.
Well, even if you look at Kooliot...
Too many snack packs.
Even if you look at Kooliot, his son still sounded a lot like Thane.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it's the fact that a Turian did not sound that way. That's just their vocal recognition pair. Literally every Turian ran into, and you ran into a shitload of Turians over the course of the first three games. The security officer I ran into kind of sounded like a Turian, but it was just like this one person didn't. And I'm just like, ugh. But yet again, female. So you don't really get a whole lot in regards to female.
There was only one.
Yeah. And she didn't really speak much.
Nope.
I think one voice line. So you can't really go off of that. It's just these depictions of these races over here so long. I think I had Garrus in my party for so long. Morden in my party for so long.
Gross.
I'm just talking about like talking to them.
Yeah, I know, but still gross and gross.
And even when you ran into the Salarian Spec Ops team,
yep.
They all talk that way. And it even says in their bio why. So the fact they are normal speed, normal pace, or even slower speaking, it doesn't fit the race. I mean, they have a super high metabolism, and that's why literally their cells eat away at themselves as they age. So that's why literally everything with them is supposed to be like they're on speed. So I couldn't get over that. Other than that, and the whole walking thing, pretty good. So I will give it. Gameplay is fine. And I'm probably just being nitpicky.
Well, I mean, you played the series since 1. You have the right to be a little nitpicky.
Technically, I started at 2. Like, I started playing 2, thought it was awesome, went back, played 1.
He has.
I know.
I've been playing it longer than you have.
I've probably put more hours in it. Not in if you rule out multiplayer, I've put in more hours than you have.
Doubt it.
He played 1 a shit ton.
So did I. And I played 2, 3. I played 2 through, like, 4 times.
I can only play through 2 once. And I can only play through 3 once. I hated 2 and 3. I hated them.
I mean, that's only after a couple hours, so we'll see how it goes.
It's probably going to be terrible, just like...
It's probably not going to live up to my expectations, but that's because I've hyped it for so long. Persona, luckily, I haven't been on the hype train for that. I mean, I kind of wanted it, but I stayed on a complete blackout. I haven't looked at anything from Atlas or anything, so... until I did research for the last episode.
This game's not. That game won't be terrible.
That game's not going to live up to your expectations.
Yeah, well.
His expectations on everything is a little low.
I want it really, really bad, but I don't set That's my expectations just, high.
I know, I've met your girlfriend.
I don't want to overhype something and then immediately be disappointed by it.
Scientific data.
What? I'm going to break your fucking nose.
Okay, so does anybody have anything else?
Other than Ryan's stupid, that about covers it.
I mean, he's not wrong.
Yeah, you're pushing your glasses up like a nerd trying to look smart, and then you put them on your forehead. Great job.
I'm not trying to do that. I'm just trying to push them up.
You're pushing them up with your pinky, like, hey, guys.
I can't.
So, hey, guys, let's talk about astrophysics.
Would you rather slam my arms on the fucking table, or would you rather me just play with my glasses?
No, because my wife will kill you.
Exactly. I'm just playing with my glasses.
Okay.
Stop it.
So, next week, we have a very special episode where we have the Thurkenberger joining us. We're not going to tell you what it's about, though. There are a couple people that know, and that's it.
I can just tell you one thing. You're in for a surprise.
Yeah, like he already told them. Thurkenberger's going to be here.
Don't tell them!
No, that, damn it! I'm sorry!
That part, people know.
No, don't tell anybody. That's the surprise.
That is not the surprise.
I'm going to tell you, Thurkenberger is not going to be here.
Jedi
you cannot Jedi.
Yeah, this is not the Thurkenberger you're looking for.
I was about to say, you can't make the hand motion like they know that you're trying to pull a Jedi mind
trick. Maybe they'll just sense it.
I don't think so.
Let's try it. Anybody that felt that, let me know.
Okay. Later, guys.
Later.
Later.
Hey, guys. If you liked what you heard, then head on over to Twitter and let us know at @Pwn_stars.
Or help us get heard by liking and sharing us on Facebook at Pwn Stars Podcast.
Or hell, just shoot us an email at pwnstarspodcast@gmail.com. Let us know what you want to hear about.
Or how much we suck. Either way is fine.
Make sure to join us every Tuesday by finding us at pwnstars.podomatic.com.
Or on that weird iTunes thing. No idea how exactly to use it, but Will told me to mention it because apparently we're on there too.
Okay, that's enough Pwn Stars for now. Later.